Heavenly Father, we just thank you again. We thank you for the music we've heard. We thank you for the songs, for the talent, for the gifts that have been given, and for the gifts that have been shared this morning. I thank you, Lord, for, again, just the fact as that last song was pointing out that you are the Messiah and that you love us, that you ransomed your soul. Gosh, Lord, when we think about the cost and we think about the price paid, God, help us to focus on that, especially during this time of year, Lord, as we head into Easter and today as we celebrate Palm Sunday. And God, I pray that our minds can be just very focused right now. In fact, Lord, I just pray for the Holy Spirit to simply move in a powerful, powerful way to indwell everyone in this room. God, again, we're not here by chance. We are not here by accident. We are here, God, because you have a purpose and a plan for this very day and this very moment. And so, God, I'm going to trust that, and I'm going to ask you to move and to speak to hearts and to minds. God, I pray that you'll take what has been prepared here and God, just that you make something useful of it, Lord, and that, God, it would speak and that I would speak what you want me to have to say, not what I would have to say. God, make it very clear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you can tell, I'm not Terry. He's recovering. We already know that. But I am glad to be with you this morning. For those of you that don't know me, and that's probably a good thing, my name is Chris Carpenter, and I'm usually back there. What? Oh, I'm sorry. He told me to remember it. Grace Kids. We're on Grace Kids. Out of here. I don't do it enough.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. See, you should have thrown something at me.
I almost.
Oh, you should throw the bottle next time. It'll hit. Anyway, as I was saying, I'm just glad to get to do this. I'm usually back up there in the sound booth and doing all that fun stuff, but today I get to share with you a little bit, and we'll just trust that God does something amazing with it. This morning we're going to look at a passage that is pretty much what we would call a traditional, typical passage for this day as we celebrate Palm Sunday, and that is we're going to look in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be looking at chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And we're going to be looking at this time when, as it's termed by many of your Bibles with the little headings above it, the triumphal entry. It was a special time. It was a time and a very pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus here on the earth as he was heading toward that final week where this plan that God had in place, this plan that God had put together to save us, to provide for us the salvation we needed, to provide for us the sacrifice that had to be made in order for us to know what true grace and what true forgiveness is, that was what was coming. And so as we pick up today, we're going to be looking at this passage where as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, as he comes in and he begins this final week. Now, I want to do something different because let me give you a little commercial here, and I unabashedly give this commercial. If you do not have or have not ever used Eugene Peterson's The Message, I encourage you to do that, and here's why. Eugene Peterson was a great pastor and minister. He was a great educator, and what he did was he took the Bible, and he basically paraphrased it into more modern language. It is one of my favorite resources whenever I'm preparing anything, a sermon or a Sunday school lesson or anything like that. I will read the text out of another translation, but then I'll always go to Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, and I look it up there because you know what? He says things in a different way that really sometimes explain things a little bit more where, well, to be blunt, my mind can get it. And that's good. You know, you have things said or words used that you go, well, I'm not sure what that means. So this morning, I'm actually going to read this passage from The Message. So it's going to sound a little different than what you might be looking at there in your Bible or on your device, but there's a good reason for it. One of the reasons that I like this so much is the beginning of this, the little heading where it says what is coming up. Eugene Peterson uses this term for the triumphal entry. He calls this God's personal visit. Now, that's pretty cool. God's personal visit. I mean, that's what we talk about, don't we, when we talk about who Jesus is. He is my personal Savior. He is that one who reigns in my heart. For those of us that have received him into our hearts and he is Lord of our life, he is that. He is very personal. He knows us intimately. He knows those things about us. And he knows all those things before he created us. So he knows us inside and out. And so when we think about this, I love this, the way it's put, God's personal visit. So let me read it to you from the Message, and you'll get hopefully what I mean by the way this is put. It says, after saying these things, Jesus headed straight up to Jerusalem. When he got near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olives, he sent off two of his disciples with instructions. Go to the village across from you. As soon as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered, one that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks anything, this is what you're going to say. If they say, what are you doing? Say, his master needs him. Now, I want to stop right there. I love that. Because if you look in the other text, you'll see that any of the other translations will say, just tell them the Lord needs him, or the master needs him. Eugene Peterson, I think, put this really in a neat way. He said, tell them his master needs him. Whose master? The master of the colt. The master, the creator of this beautiful animal. That's how personal this is. He's the God of everything. He is the creator of it all. And he is the master even over this little old donkey or horse or colt. His master needs him. I thought that was pretty cool. The two left and found just as he said, and as they were untying the colt, its owner said, what are you doing untying the colt? They said, his master needs him. They brought the colt to Jesus. Then throwing their coats on its back, they helped Jesus get on. And as he rode, the people gave him a grand welcome, throwing their coats on the street. Right at the crest where Mount Olives begins its descent, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the almighty works they had witnessed. Blessed is he who comes, the King in God's name. All's well in heaven, glory in the high places. Some Pharisees from the crowd told him, teacher, get your disciples under control. But he said, if they keep quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. That's pretty cool. I mean, it really is how Peterson put this, in the sense of, understand what Jesus was doing. Jesus had a clear, I think, understanding by this point, obviously. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew what laid before him. He knew this from the beginning. But the people that were around him were still struggling with this whole idea of what Jesus really was all about. He had tried to tell them often, and in many conversations, he had tried to explain what he was really there to do. I mean, let's face it, they had watched him do some amazing things. Jesus had been with them, and he had healed people from terrible sicknesses. He had raised people from the dead. He had fed thousands of people with just a little bit of food. He had calmed the sea. He had done so many amazing things, so many miracles that, you know, got everybody's attention because, man, you do something spectacular, people are going to pay attention, right? You do something that's out of the norm, and people go, oh, wow, listen, I got to pay attention to this and see what this guy's all about. And they had paid attention to what he was doing, but they kind of missed on some of the things he was trying to tell them about why he was really here. Now, he had had great impacts on lives. I mean, I love this passage where it falls into place here in Luke, because if you go right back, right before it, you see this encounter he had with one of my favorite characters, and that is Zacchaeus. Remember the song? How many remember the song? It was a wee little man. A wee little man was he? Oh, gosh. I grew up singing that song. That was always my favorite song. My life is a little different. My parents were foreign missionaries in West Africa for 27 years, and I was actually born in a little place called Liberia, West Africa. And Sunday mornings were always the special time because my mom and I, my dad was usually way off somewhere in the interior working with trying to get a church established or doing something with churches there. So my mom and I would pack our little stuff up. My mom would get her little bag, and we'd walk not even quite a mile down to this church, and we'd have Sunday school. And one of the things the kids just loved to do, of course, was to sing. And my mom, this is great. My mom played the accordion. I mean, can you imagine that? I remember as a kid, I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen was an accordion, you know? And she played the accordion. And she'd take that accordion, we'd lug that thing down to the church, and she'd play it, and we'd sing songs. And that was one of the kids' favorites. The kids loved that song about Zacchaeus. Because we love the story. I mean, here's a little guy just wanting to see Jesus so bad, he climbs up in a tree. But you know what's so great about that story really now is that we look at it and Jesus said to Zacchaeus, hey, get down here, bud, I'm going to your house. You know what was great about that was that Jesus was doing something everybody looked at and said, ooh, I don't think I'd have done that. And Jesus said, y'all, that's what I've got to do. I got to go to his house because he needs me. He needs me. He needs to understand what it is to know God's grace. He needs to know what it is to understand God's love and passion and compassion. If you remember the end result of that story, Zacchaeus did. He came to understand that. And even though he had done some people pretty wrong and taking more than he should have when he took their taxes, he told Jesus, I'm going to fix all that and I'm going to pay back four times the amount I took. I mean, God changed his heart that day. So we get to this scene and we see Jesus now as he prepares to head into Jerusalem. And for him, I'm sure that there was a myriad of emotions that were going on, things he was thinking about as he said, you know, God, I'm going to go and fulfill your plan, but man, you know, what is ahead of me is just something I'm not so sure about in the sense of that it concerns me. I know that there's going to be some very painful moments physically, spiritually, emotionally that will be happening in this time to come. But you got to remember the one thing about that, Jesus didn't stop. He didn't hesitate. He said, we're going to go on because I've got to fulfill what God called me to do. And so as he heads in, and as Eugene Peterson puts it, I just love how simply he puts it. He sent the disciples off and said, hey, guys, go get that colt. You know, it's already taken care of, and bring it back to me. And they put the coats on it, and they set Jesus on that colt, and they began to go in and down and headed up to Jerusalem, literally up to Jerusalem. Now, here's one of the things you got to remember, and it's a symbol. It's a symbolic thing here, and so let's hit on it because it wouldn't be fair if I didn't hit on it, I don't think. Plus, you know, it's one of those moments where I can kind of sound smart, maybe. I don't know. Understand the importance of the colt. Understand the importance, again, how this all fits. Guys, one of the things you will learn as the more you read Scripture and the more you work into it and you delve into it, you will find some amazing things that go on there that are just not things that happened by chance. It was all part and laid out perfectly for a reason. Here's the reason with that colt. In the day of Jesus' time and a little before, when you came into a city and you had conquered that city, and you had led your forces through, taken everything down, gotten rid of the other army, now you were in control of it, if you were to come into that city as the king of that city now, you would ride in on a majestic, beautiful horse. You'd find the best horse you had in the stables. You would clean that horse up. You'd dress that horse up. You'd put the most beautiful equipment on that horse, and you would ride in a glorious manner. And people would know you were in charge just simply by doing that. But if you showed up riding in on a colt, that was a really humble, kind of low thing to do. And so here Jesus came, really, truly the king, the real king, but yet he got on a colt. And he sat on that little old colt, and he rode down through there quietly, humbly, just heading into town. And people looked at that, and what does that mean? Well, that means that he's coming in peace. He's coming as a peacemaker. He's coming as one who wants to see that at the foremost, peace. Not violence, but peace. But you got to remember, too, guys, that the people that were around him didn't quite get that. Because what were they doing? They were caught up in the political aspect of all of this. Remember, if you've ever looked at any of the scripture or read anything, you got to remember that Jesus had a real battle the whole time he was ministering. And the battle was this. People were looking at him saying, okay, you're the Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior. That means that, yay, we're going to get rid of the Romans. Nobody likes the Romans. But Jesus was saying, guys, you're missing the point. I'm here to establish the kingdom of God, but that kingdom of God is so far from what you think that you have no clue how much better and bigger it is than just kicking the Romans out. But that's what they were looking for. You know, it's one of those things, again, that we find ourselves, we get into these situations. Be honest now, and again, you know, we try not to embarrass you, so I just like Terry does, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Though a couple of people did in the first service, that was kind of funny. But I want you to think about this. How many of us, and I suspect it's pretty much all of us, are really truly guilty of this little thing that we do? God, I got a problem, and here's how I want you to solve it. Don't we do that? Don't we do that? Oh, I'm so good at that. God, I got this thing going on here, and it's a real issue, but God, I got a solution. This is so perfect, God. You're going to love it. And God's like, yeah, okay, go ahead. It's kind of like me as a teacher, you know, kids will come up with these ideas of things there, you know, and I just love to do that. I go, yeah, what do you need? And they tell me, I said, go ahead and tell me what you need. And they tell me, I go, no. And you know, they have to go sit back down. But we do that with God, don't we? We say, God, I got the solution. I've worked this out in my head a million times. This makes the most sense. This is going to work perfectly. Only if you'll do this, we got this. Hey, there's nothing like telling the king of the universe you got it figured out. Because the king of the universe just kind of laughs and he chuckles and he says, oh, you poor little thing, how I love you. But let me do what I'm going to do because it's going to be so much better. See, that's what we don't understand. We think that we have these solutions that are grand and wonderful and we put them out there and trust God and say, well, God, you know, if you do this. But God looks at it and he says, but you don't understand. The solution I have for you is so much more than just that. Now, let me throw a little information out here for you if you haven't figured this out in life yet, that sometimes those solutions and those things that we go through when God is really truly and we let him be in control, he's in control, we're going to have some challenges along the way. But do you understand that every challenge that we face is meant for a purpose? Do we really understand that? That every challenge that we go through in our lives, there is a purpose behind it? I know it's hard to see when you're in the middle of it because there have been a lot of challenges I faced when I was in the middle of it. I'm going, man, I sure hope he reveals this real soon because I'm not getting this. But God has that for us. And so though we may have our plans and our ideas just like these people did on that day, just like they said, you know, we want you to be the king. We want you to come in and take control. We want Jerusalem back. We want to be Israel again. We want to be great and glorious. We want to be like the days of yore. The days of yore. Aren't those great days? The days of yore. They always seem better from this perspective, don't they? I mean, I'm getting, let's face it, I'm getting there. I'm over 50 now, and I'm at that point where I'm doing that a lot. I start looking back, you know, and I have things happen. I go, oh, remember those days. Those days are so great. You know, especially, again, teaching school, you're just like, oh, geez, I remember when. And, you know, it's just, and you get to tell great stories, though. You do get to tell neat stories. I tell my kids stories all the time, you know, stuff like this, because I teach eighth graders and sixth graders, and you tell them stuff, you know, like crazy stuff. I'm talking crazy stuff like the old idea of a phone on the wall. That blows their mind. I mean, it just, they're gone, you know. And you're talking about, you know, how you'd take it off, and you'd have like this 25-foot coiled cord, so you could get across the room, you know? Yes, exactly. I mean, stuff like that. Stuff that, like, I would actually tell my parents where I was going to be, and I would actually be there. Isn't that crazy? Nutty ideas like this that I lived and did, you know? But that's the stuff that we talk about when we think about the days of yore. We look back and we think, oh, so great, so simple, so wonderful. And then we see us in our situation, and we go, oh, couldn't it be? And God, again, is trying to get us to understand, hey, those were great, but they're done. You got to move ahead. I got more for you to experience, more for you to know, more for you to come to understand, and I want you to do that. And here, that's what happened with these people, because Jesus was trying to get them to understand, guys, I know what you want, but it's not what you need. Isn't that the way we get to? Well, I know what I want. I have a lot of wants. Sometimes it's just to be left alone so I can take a good nap. But I have a lot of wants. But God knows what I need. Amen. And that's what he wants to provide for me. As the scene and this event moves along, you see more things begin to happen. Because now this crowd is really into this moment. And let me make a note here, and let's understand this. When the term in this section is used for disciples, we're not referring to just the 12. We're referring to the crowd. This was all his disciples, all those who had followed him, all those who had stuck with him, all those that were still there. I mean, it was a crowd of people. And so when the term is used here, we're not just talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all those guys. We're talking about the big crowd. Because they're still with him and they're hanging with him because, again, they are trying to get out of this what they think that they really want. And so they're with him, and as they keep going, notice that they get really loud about stuff. They begin to praise him. Peterson put it as, "Blessed is he who comes, the King in God's name. All's well in heaven, glory in the high places." The NASB puts it this way, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Man, these people were excited. God, this is awesome. You're here. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who's going to come in here and get these people out. But again, Jesus is just riding along saying, boy, this week's going to be interesting. Because you see, here's the interesting thing that occurs. And don't let this get lost on us. That in this crowd of people who are screaming that day in praise to him at that very moment, that there will be a lot of the same voices on that night when Jesus is standing there with Barabbas. And Pilate says, who do you want? You want Jesus or you want Barabbas to be released? Oh, we want Barabbas. He's a terrible dude, but we want him. Release him. Well, what about Jesus? Some of the same voices that said, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to be the ones screaming the loudest, crucify him. Crucify him. Those same people that stood that day. Because why? Because their dreams didn't get fulfilled. Because they didn't get things the way they thought they should be. So guess what? We're going to turn on him. And they do. Amen. But you know what? Let's be honest. There's some times in our lives where we kind of do that ourselves, right? God, you didn't do things the way I thought you were going to do. I don't understand this. I don't know if I can love a God who does that. I don't know what to do, God. I just got to disconnect for a while. No, seriously, we do that. We may not say those exact words, but I guarantee you, we stop for a moment and we don't do things like we used to do them. We don't pray as much as we did, or we're not involved as much as we should be because we're frustrated, because it didn't go our way. You know, there's something that's incredible about praising God. I love being a part of this church, especially with our band and all our talent that we have here and this opportunity when they're playing and we just get to sing and we get to pray. I don't know. I really hate to say this, but, you know, you have to watch out because sometimes when I'm doing the sound back there, I'm dancing more than I'm doing the sound. And I'm a terrible dancer. I'm really a white guy. I really am. I got nothing. And you know, my wife laughs at me all the time for my lack of rhythm and everything else, but I'm back there and I'm having a good time because in that moment I'm just loving it. As we're praising, we're singing, I love these songs and I love our leaders and their passion they're putting into it and all that goes into it. And we're just praising and praising. Many years ago when I was in the pastorate, I'm one of those guys that have done a lot of things. My wife finally got mad at me and she said, you got to decide on something, settle down. You know, pick a career and stick with it. I said, okay. Well, she's hung with me for 28 years, so I've done okay, I guess. Well, pretty good, huh? Yeah. 29 this December, y'all. Yeah. She's going to hurt me for that. But anyway, when we think about this thing of praising, and we think about, you know, as these folks were praising him that day, I always think about a pastor that I had in North Georgia. I'd been at this church, and it was a church that had been through a really difficult time. They'd had a split, were trying to recover, and I took the pastorate. The process of going there had been long, and I just went there, and I felt like that was the place to be, but it was just a challenge. And we hadn't been there too long, and I called a friend of mine, a musician friend of mine at the time, and I said, Kirk, I said, would you come up here and do a concert? I said, I think we need something like that you offer, just something different. And Kirk agreed to come, and he came up there. He and his wife traveled up. And this guy was a guy I had known in Rome, Georgia, when we lived in Rome, Georgia. Fantastic musician, awesome guy. Just you know, one of these individuals that you're better for having known him. And I called him, and he came. And we set up that morning. He did some songs in the morning service, and that night he did a whole concert. And it was wonderful. We had an interesting conversation during the day when they were just hanging out with us during the day and talking about the situation in the church. And that night as he was doing the concert, one particular song at one moment just really began to speak to one of our church members. She was sitting over here kind of by herself. She was a woman who had been through some incredible health problems. She was diabetic. She had lost her eyesight as an adult because of her diabetes. She had just recently gone blind. Imagine that. You've been seeing all your life and suddenly you lose your eyesight. Her physical self was struggling. She was just going through a difficult time. And she was sitting over there, and here's the funny thing about it. Being that she could not see, she didn't even know if anybody was sitting around her or not. And you know what? She didn't care because of what happened next. Because as Kirk began to do this one particular song, it just moved her, and she just began to celebrate. Oh, my goodness. And yes, we were in a Baptist church. And she got excited, and she began to clap her hands to the music. She lifted her hands. She said, you know, she was saying praises verbally. And I'm telling you, everybody from this side over, their heads just about came off their shoulders as they spun to look at her. It angered me. That's not a good thing when a pastor gets angry. After the concert was over and as I was closing down, I stood up and I said, I want to tell you something tonight. I said, I'm disappointed. I'm heartbroken. Because I saw what happened. She began to feel the very presence of God. The Spirit moved within her. She was rejoicing because even in all that she had been through, even through all the challenges she had been facing physically and emotionally and spiritually, she found this moment in time because of this song that was led by this guy. She found that moment to praise God. Amen. And it bugged everybody else. Well, guess what? That happened on this day with Jesus. Because here were his people praising him and shouting these things. And guess who shows up? The religious people. They ruin everything. The religious people show up and they walk up to Jesus and they say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. This is way too passionate. This is way too exciting. You can't do this. Stop this mess right now. That is just not acceptable. We don't want people to know who God is and love him, enjoy him, and celebrate. That's silly. And this really was what they were doing. They were saying, stop your disciples. Shut them up. Tell them to quit now. I love Jesus' response because it's so amazing and so simple. He says, okay, but if I shut them up, guess what's going to happen? See those rocks? Yes. They're going to start shouting. Wouldn't that have been cool? Wouldn't that have been so cool? I guarantee you there have been some Pharisees that have passed out. They'd have been laid out because they wouldn't know what happened, man. Holy cow, that rock just said Hosanna. That rock just said praise Jesus. Oh my goodness. But Jesus made it very simple for them to understand. Guys, I'm not real worried about what you think because you're focused on this religious part of stuff. You're focused on being in control. He said, these people, even though some of them, their voices may change in another week, and they may say things that are hurtful, but right now, they're praising God. They're praising Jesus. They're praising their Savior. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to stop them because you don't need to ever stop doing that. I don't ever post a whole lot of stuff on Facebook. I really don't. I look at it too much, but that's, you know, one of those things I'm trying to get over. But I remember we had not been down here long. We moved down here to take care of my wife's parents, and we moved from Georgia down to here. And I was sitting there one night, and I don't know, there was some stuff going on in the transition, you know, just all sorts of things. And I had my phone out, and I was just sitting there on Facebook. And for some reason, I don't know what possessed me to do it other than the Spirit of God just said, do it. And I just posted a very simple thing. And basically what I said was, I said, you know what? There's one thing I've learned. I'm going to praise him in the good, and I'm going to praise him in the bad. Amen. I'm going to do my best to praise him no matter what. Amen. I don't always do it, but I'm going to do my best to try to. I got more responses that night from people than I think I've ever gotten a response for anything else I've ever put on Facebook. It says a lot about me, but, you know. People understood that. On this day, as Jesus entered into this place, there were people there who wanted nothing more than just to thank and praise him, to be hopeful, to look forward to what was to come. And there were people there who wanted to stop it and say, no, that's just too much. And Jesus said, you know what? Try as you might, you can't. And just like that sweet lady at that church, She had no concern about anybody else in that place that night. Because you know what? I hate to be rude, but they didn't matter.
Amen.
Eugene Peterson said, as I've already said, he put the little title, God's Personal Visit. God's personal triumphant entry into our lives. And that's what we need. We need to have those moments where we just open the doors and say, God, please come in. Just come in. Please. Because you know there's an interesting part of this passage as you go on. There's another interesting thing Jesus did. He went to the temple and he looked at what was going on. He said, not in God's house. And he kicked a bunch of people out. He said, get out of here. This is meant to be a house of prayer, not a house of thieves, of robbers, of tricksters. Sometimes we need to have that cleansing, don't we? And so maybe our challenge as we wind this down is simply this. As we approach Easter, maybe that's our prayer. Please, Jesus, enter into my life triumphantly. Let your Spirit move within me. Cleanse those things. Kick over a few tables. Kick a few things out of the way that need to go. And remind me that you love me so much that you died for me.
Amen.
But you know the greatest thing about the death of Christ on the cross is this? That wasn't the end. Because as we talk about next week, there was the risen Jesus. The grave could not hold him. How wonderful, how majestic, how awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for, again, who you are. We thank you for your love for us, your passion for us, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that is so abundant. God, I pray today that every heart in here knows you, and for those that don't, Lord, right now I'm going to pray for them. I pray that, God, you would speak to their heart. That, God, they would understand that in their heart right now they need to open up and they need to simply ask you, Lord, please come in. Come into my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you did give your life and that you rose from that grave and that forever you have offered me eternal life with you. So, God, I just pray for those who need that. But, Lord, more than anything, I just pray this week you'll prepare our hearts also. And that you will just move in us and help us to open our lives up to you and to what you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name that I humbly pray. Amen. Ryan?
Amen. As we move into our time of offering, I want to ask our ushers if they would go ahead and come forward this morning. This is the time where guests, you can take that card that you filled out, you can tear it off and you can put it into the offering plate if you miss it. You can put it in one of the great boxes that we have at each of our doors. But we give here a grace for three reasons. One is because Jesus is the most important person in all the world. The gospel is the most important message. And the third thing is that Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we want to give you an opportunity to just treasure Christ and treasure the gospel and move a step closer to him. So this morning as we take up our offering, would you just give? Again, visitors, all we ask is just this card from you. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity to give back a little of what you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would take this, take our tithes and take our offerings. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, to the furthering of your kingdom, both here in Putnam County and around the world. God, we thank you for all that you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. As they take up the offering, I have a couple of announcements for you. We took the youth yesterday. We're at Hitchcock's doing a fundraiser against celebrity bagging. That was a fun day yesterday with them. We have another one, and our final celebrity bagging is coming up April the 26th. That's a Friday night. We'll be up at Hitchcock's from 5 to 8 that evening. So if you're looking for somewhere to go on a Friday night, or you want to come by and grab some pizza and see some teenagers work with you, that'd be great. They'd love to do that. It's a great fundraiser for our students. Graduates and parents of graduates, or even grandparents of graduates. We're still taking your students' bios. for May the 26th. May the 26th is our Senior Recognition Sunday. We haven't received any bios as of yet. We have put a deadline on it of this Sunday, the April the 28th, the last Sunday in April, so that we make sure that we've got time to get everything together. Please make sure that you get those to us by then so that we can make sure that we get their info into the little insert, because we want to celebrate your graduates on the 26th. We want to know how to pray for them, where they're going in their next steps in life. Young Life has a fundraiser happening this coming Tuesday night at Zaxby's. If you're looking for a place to eat and want to help support a great cause, Young Life is a great cause in our community that is reaching teenagers that don't typically go to church. That's their whole mission. And so it's a great opportunity to be there. There is a ladies' night out happening April the 27th that Hope FM is hosting here at our church. If you've been listening to the radio, you've been hearing the little clips. I'm going to see if I can maybe sneak in that evening just for a good laugh. Not that they would laugh at me, but that I could laugh with them, because it's going to be a great night. Ladies, if you're looking for something to kind of do and get out of the house, have a great ladies' night out, experiencing God and laughter and each other and fellowship. It's a wonderful opportunity, but you see that in your bulletin. There's a bunch of other announcements as well. But we just thank you so much for coming and being here. Don't forget, tonight is life groups. If you are not involved in a life group and you're like, what is a life group? It's a group of like-minded people. It's a group of individuals that get together and meet at somebody's house and we eat, which is really good. There's food involved. And then we just discuss the Bible. We discuss the morning sermon. But if you're looking for a life group to plug into, my wife is sitting over here. Jen, raise your hand real quick. She's sitting over here. She'll be happy to help you get connected with a life group that's in your area. But we would love for you to be a part of that. Obviously, Pastor Terry's life group is not happening tonight because he's at home, and I don't think they're going to have everybody there, okay? So there's no life group for Pastor Terry tonight. But please make sure that you send him a text. Give him a phone call. I know he'd love to hear from you. And again, appreciate your support and love and prayers for him. Would you stand this morning as we close our service in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you that, God, you rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, and God, today you rode triumphantly into our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would help us as we go out of this place, God, to take you with us everywhere we go, to tell the world around us the difference that you have made in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you. We ask all of this in your name and for your glory's sake. Amen, amen, and amen. Have a wonderful week.